There is much that could be said. Probably there is much that should be said on this occasion about our friend Michael. And clearly to say everything is impossible, and even really to do justice to the man is difficult. So, a few words. I'm very conscious that there are people in this tent who knew Michael far better than I did. But with the help of some notes that I've had from Vivienne, just some thoughts. I knew Michael really in three contexts. The first, and you know, this is very appropriate, the first was that of Torah. I got to know Michael first when we started learning together on Thursday nights in the Chabura, which we learned with Marcel Borden, our friend, our teacher. I forget when it was that started, or that when we first encountered each other. It seems like I've known him all my life, to be honest. But in the Chabura, in contrast to Daf Yomi, I understand Michael completed the Daf Yomi cycle three times. But in contrast to Daf Yomi, Marcel's shiur is one which is slow. It is deliberate, it's thoughtful, it's deeply analytic. And Michael was in his element in this shiur. His contributions were actually less frequent than some others, probably me included, but usually more apposite, always to the point, always considered. But more than that, what I felt from him all the time was his huge enthusiasm, his huge enjoyment, his dedication to Limud Torah. And we've heard how he would get up ridiculously early in the morning. I have to say, he tried to encourage me to join him at 6 o'clock every morning. There are some things which are slightly beyond my capabilities, but I understand that having got up ridiculously early, gone out ridiculously early, he would come back from the daily shiur refreshed and exhilarated and excited every day. I saw that excitement once a week, but that in itself was a remarkable thing. He loved to share his learning. Whenever he found something that was interesting or exciting, he would want to tell people. He would want to tell you that he'd read a book and it was really good and you really ought to read it too. You ought to learn this. You ought to look at that. It never stopped. I understand that sometimes at home on Shabbos there were sanctions imposed and he was required to limit his sharing of his Torah to 5 minutes at the maximum. He regarded that, of course, simply as an interesting challenge. And I'm sure that he always rose to that challenge and fulfilled it in a superb manner. The second context in which I knew Michael was here in the tent, in the marquee. Well, we started actually in a building, but really Magen Avot has become, I think, itself in this wonderfully temporary accommodation. We sort of began to hear rumours that Michael and others were talking about starting something, and he, for reasons best known to himself, decided that I should come along. So I did. I did what I was told. This is actually a pattern of behaviour. I believe this was the fifth shul that he had been involved in setting up in three different continents. And he hoped... You know, he talked about this. He hoped that this would be the best of all. And one can see, actually, I mean, obviously there were many people involved in setting up Magen Avot, making it into a nascent community which has wonderful, wonderful promise. But some of the things that make it special, that he described to me as he was encouraging me to join him, the openness, the friendliness, the intention that every person should feel welcome in the shul. But at the same time, the determination that things should be done properly. And Michael himself was a competent Baal Tefillah, a competent Baal Keirah. He wanted things to be done well. But then that also had to be balanced with the need for people to be accommodated, for no one to feel uncomfortable, for no one to be upset, for no one to feel they weren't good enough. It's a very fine balance. It's a balance that I think we all learnt a little from Michael's example. And he delighted in this new shul. That was a remarkable thing. To the extent that you know, he was, of course, one of the people who we relied upon. I think it was the last Shabbos that he was here. He had to stand in at short notice to occupy this very pulpit. Which is only actually a pulpit when the chief rabbi is here. But he was capable and willing to serve, and he always had something to say. And the third context in which I knew Michael was actually that of business. The first thing that should be said about him was that his integrity, his honesty, were fundamental to his character, and they didn't stop when he left the four walls of the Beis Medrash. They infused everything that he did. They infused his life in business, his career with in the oil industry, which itself took him to strange and wonderful places. Ironically, of course, he, having travelled the world for many years, meticulously observant of mitzvot, even in places like Pakistan and Saudi Arabia, and enjoying a very limited diet as a consequence. He returned to England only to develop a range of allergies that restricted his diet vastly. Until I understand the last few months, and in fact Vivian mentioned that on the last few months he was able again to eat normal foods, and on Tu Bishvat, took great enjoyment in sampling a range of fruits that he hadn't had for many, many years, and bringing that enthusiasm and that enjoyment of life to even to that simple celebration. But in business, I remember a conversation that I had with him a few years ago. We somehow got talking about all the different things that he was involved in. And there was a whole range of them which I sat and listened and went and thought and realized that these were not projects that he was looking at because there was a quick buck. They weren't investments that he was hoping to make money from. They were people who needed help. People who'd started businesses or who had ideas or who were trying something and who were looking for investment or who were looking for help or looking for support. And actually, his involvement with these people was not one of commerce, but one of chesed. And I found that the most phenomenal thing. He gave advice. He loved to give advice. I'm sure his children will reflect on that. He loved to give advice. Usually it was very good advice. It wasn't always taken. When it wasn't taken, he didn't feel aggrieved and hold a grudge. Carried on, he was happy. He would give advice on business, he would give advice on people asking where they should go and learn, where they should study. And he was always very, very generous with his time, with his expertise. Indeed, he gave, I think, everything to everything. He gave everything of himself to everything that he did, as Rabbi Siegel has mentioned. And through all that, you know, it should also be said that he avoided Lashon Hara. Right? In the business world, it is so easy to fall into that trap. And particularly, you know, you're discussing a company and there's this guy who's running it, but really he's not up to it. And I don't know, I'm not sure. Well, you know, But there has to be a barrier. And Michael was expert at maintaining that barrier so that any conversation about a company never fell across it. And finally, of course, his enthusiasm, his love for his family knew no bounds. And one should say that. You know, the character that I came to know seemed to me complete in these three areas of Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. In learning Torah, in the shuls that he set up, and in the business which was itself Chesed. I'm sure I speak for everyone, all of his friends, all of his colleagues. I say that I felt that it's been a privilege to know him. And I can only hope that that knowledge it can itself be something of a source of comfort, of strength, of sustenance to the family, to Vivian, to Neil, to Judith, to Karen, and to Anne. What remains is an astonishing character, a huge character, who will be much missed. And finally, to echo something that Rabbi Siegel has said, I think the last thing almost that he said to me, we were having a conversation about his business activities in Israel as he was about to go off again. And he said, Hakol bidei shamayim. Many people say those words, and frankly, they don't mean them. My friend Michael, Rabbi Aaron Mordechai ben Moshe, said those words, and he meant them with every fiber of his being.